This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie. 'Cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your loving and your dirt of loving, all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you know you love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday will I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie. 'Cause that'll be the day when I die.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Buddy Holly for you this morning on a kind of gray, overcast day here in Chicago.
Chicago.
Well, boy, where am I? Tampa Bay. I used to be in Chicago, you know? But it's overcast and gray in Tampa Bay. I don't know what it's like right now in Chicago. But anyway, welcome to the Freedom Works radio show. I am Paul Molloy, I think. And along with my buddy and my partner and my mentor, and he's bigger than me, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, April the 20th already. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Nathan Harden of Real Clear Education, and we're going to talk with him about a new college survey which shows how many students feel muzzled and intimidated when it comes to free speech on campus. Now, I think that's been just because you're intimidated by the professors to begin with. I mean, how many people would stand up in the middle of a huge lecture hall? Hey, excuse me, professor, but I disagree with what you're saying. No, no. But it's more than that now on campus, apparently, even among other students. So we're going to talk about that. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed an anti-riot bill into law. What is that all about? Well, we're going to talk about this and other things in the news later on in the show with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceraci. Stay tuned for that. And President Biden's administration is now banning use of the word or term illegal alien. Did you know that? You're no longer allowed to use that term when it involves the administration. Can they do that? Can they do that? We're going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a great one. And I'll bet Ed watched every one of these. These are the top 10 worst TV game shows of all time. I want to see if Ed knows what the very worst game show of all time was. He's going to think about that. By the way, we are sponsored here at Freedom Works in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580, Main Street, on Overcash Drive. By the way, it's the best place you can get a haircut, you guys, in Tampa Bay, for my money. You got to call first, 727-733-3773. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 733-3773. And by the way, I hope you've been listening to Good Morning Clearwater from 8 to 10 a.m. I think they were at a bowling alley yesterday, I think. I don't know how well they did. We'll ask Ed later if Paul and Tracy did well on the alleys, if they bowled well. But they're here 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Why don't you start off your day with them? Because they are really the best. They talk about what's going on in the news. They talk about the world of entertainment, all kinds of things. Good morning, Clearwater. All right. So, Ron DeSantis yesterday signed into law something called the Anti-Riot Bill. Now, that's to keep, obviously, protesting down to a sane level, right? It increases penalties for crimes committed during riots and is supposedly aimed at, quote, combating public disorder. Here's what he said, DeSantis, yesterday. If you look at the breadth of this particular piece of legislation, it's the strongest anti-rioting, pro-law enforcement piece of legislation in the country. He said there's just nothing even close. Now, the Senate, the Florida State Senate, passed at 23-17. And obviously, this is, you know, in response to what's going on in places like Portland and Seattle and Minnesota. By the way, I wonder what's going to happen after they come up with that verdict in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Even if it's a guilty verdict, I wonder if there'll still be riots and protests, you know? Just because it doesn't make any difference. I mean, you know, people are looking for an excuse to tear into a store and rob it during a riot. You get to rob places. Did you know that, Ed? You know, during a protest, a demonstration, if you break through a store window, that's called, not the same as breaking and entering.
It's called
normal
free,
times.
It's called free stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this law has gone into effect immediately, grants legal immunity to people who drive through protesters who are blocking a road. So I kind of wonder where that's going to go. I mean, if you're driving along in your Ford truck, you know, and these people are in the street with signs, are you allowed to drive right through them without slowing down? That would be interesting. Anyway, you can drive through them. It allows authorities to hold arrested demonstrators from posting bail until after their first court date. So you can keep them in jail.
Keep them in jail.
That'll scare people away from going through rioting, don't you think?
A few of them.
Yeah. It increases the charge for battery on a police officer during a riot. Okay. It allows people to sue local governments over personal or property damage if they are determined to have interfered with law enforcement response during civil unrest. So, in other words, your business can be sued. I mean, you can sue if your business is damaged, I guess. You can sue the government if your business is damaged for not being protected by authorities and all that kind of thing. So that's kind of an interesting rule. We're going to talk about that a little later, by the way, with Andrew the Master Barber. Everybody's talking about Maxine Waters. I don't know what to say about it. She came out after saying that, basically, she says, we got to get more active and more confrontational, no matter, unless we get a really, like, I mean, the jury has to go over the top and really find him guilty, and they really have to lock this guy up for a long time. Otherwise, it isn't good enough, and we have to be more, well, now, she says, she was asked about the judge who said, you know what? Basically, he said, you may have grounds to reverse any guilty.
On appeal.
Yeah. In other words, they throw, you'd have to be retried again based on what she had. So what did she say? Asked about the judge's comment. She said, the judge says my words don't matter. I don't know when he said that. I don't know. She gets away with murder.
Oh, God. I just saw that, you know, it's ironic that she wants protesters to be more active and more confrontational, yet did you know she wanted police protection?
Of course,
protection?
They're hypocrites, you know.
While
that.
She's in Minnesota, she wants police protection.
Oh, yeah, she's surrounded by bodyguards.
Oh,
oh yeah. You know, all these people, the Pelosi's and the Maxine Waters, mm-hmm. and all of these others that are calling for more protesting and this and that, whatever they're calling for. They're surrounded by guns. They're surrounded by bodyguards. All of them are. They're hypocrites. We know that.
And then Pelosi came out and said she didn't see anything wrong with what Maxine Waters said.
Of course. And she was the first one to impeach Trump. He never said anything
and
close
Trump,
to that.
Trump said we need to go march peacefully.
Exactly.
And she twisted that around.
No, this is why this is a... And we're going to talk about not using the word illegal alien later on.
Write that down because you can't use that with China virus.
Yes,
so you're really going to get belted if you say the illegal aliens are bringing China virus into the U.S.
You're a dead man walking.
Biden, I'll have you locked up and throw away the key.
You're a dead man walking. You say those things. You really are. Anyway. It's a strange world right now, a very strange world. We're going to take a break, and speaking about speech, when we come back, Nathan Harden, Real Clear Education, we're going to talk about how many students on campus feel muzzled and intimidated about giving their thoughts.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Talking Sports and Knockout Radio is one of, if not the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay, and heard every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. From football to MMA and pizza to travel, we talk it all. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you have a story you'd like us to cover, just go to knockoutradio.com and click the contact link and send us a suggestion. That's knockoutradio.com/talkingsports.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday morning, a little overcast, a little rainy, but we could use it here in Tampa Bay. And we are delighted to have Nathan Harden join us from Real Clear Education, where they have conducted a survey. It's kind of a new report card, I guess. Talking about freedom of association and speech on nationwide college campuses. And they did, I guess they surveyed kids at over 500 colleges and universities who belong to fraternities and maybe sororities to get their thoughts on whether or not they are being muzzled. Nathan, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on the program. Good to be here.
You know, when I went to school a long time ago, even then I was intimidated a little bit. I mean, and the reason was, you know, you're sitting in a big lecture hall, for example, or you're even sitting in a smaller classroom. But the teacher, I mean, you're just intimidated. You're not going to stand up and say, excuse me, I disagree with your professor. I mean, you're just not going to do it. You think, look, no matter what he says, I want to get a good grade. This is how you think when you're a student. I want to get a good grade, you know? I mean,
yeah, and,
so from that standpoint, well, my point is from that standpoint, I don't think it's changed much. But what has changed, in my opinion, from what I'm seeing, is the way that kids actually talk to each other out in the halls or, you know, walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah, your thought. We asked students to tell us, you know, how comfortable they feel disagreeing or expressing a controversial opinion, as you said, with a professor in the classroom. And a lot of those students, not surprisingly, weren't so comfortable disagreeing with their professors. And some of that may be, as you said, just a matter of intimidation. But I think where the problem becomes a little more apparent is when we begin to ask them, for instance, how comfortable would you be expressing an unpopular opinion on social media? And while we had 60% said they weren't comfortable disagreeing with a professor, 67%, even more, said they'd be uncomfortable just saying something unpopular on social media. And I think that's a reflection of the times we live in where, you know, saying something that's controversial can kind of become a permanent scar on your life.
Yeah, and that is, to me, a surprising percentage. I think they would, you know, back in our day, we didn't have the social media thing, but let's say, you know, any kind of a communication, I wouldn't think it would be that high, but now it is. But they seem to be censoring, particularly on these social media sites, conservative thought, right? I mean, let's be honest. A lot of the liberal thought, they don't censor it, do they?
Well, I think what we're really talking about here is even more so than, you know, the issue of big tech censorship, is self-censoring, right? This is when people simply don't post something because they're afraid of the reaction that they might have. And this is where even in the classroom, you know, professors, you're right, you know, a student may just be intimidated, but a professor can do a lot to encourage you know, healthy debate in the classroom if they make a proactive stance, if they,
right.
they you know, encourage that. And so sometimes it's not that a professor is actively, you know, hammering down on somebody who has an opposing point of view, but students themselves are self-censoring. They're never engaging in the debate to begin with because they're afraid of either a bad grade or, more so, they're afraid of being ostracized socially because if you're, you know, if you're a conservative student, for instance, in a largely liberal campus, you may face social consequences, you know, for speaking out in an unpopular way.
Indeed.
And we see that that's just becoming worse and worse, not just within the classroom, but now in the workplace. You know, we've had, you know, CEOs step down, people, you know, driven from their jobs in a way for expressing political opinion.
Oh, there's no question about it. It's very, very scary. We're talking with Nathan Harden from Real Clear Education. They've done a survey of students from Greek organizations, you know, sororities and fraternities, about the muzzling, basically the muzzling of free speech on campus and the intimidation that they feel. This was an interesting thing I saw in your survey here, Nathan, that a plurality of all the respondents feel pressured for their Greek organizations to be tossed off campus.
That, right.
I mean, I didn't know this. Is this shutting down fraternities and sororities now? Are they passe? What's going on?
Well, there's a few things happening here, and you know, there's a lot of talk about free speech on campus, but with this survey, we focused in on the Greek letter organizations, fraternities and sororities, because we wanted to also shed some light on this organizational freedom, or what you might call freedom of association. That is the right of students to voluntarily gather in like-minded groups, whether that be a social group such as a fraternity or sorority. And I think this more broadly applies to interest groups, whether it be, you know, a religious group on campus or a political group. We saw a large number, almost half, said that they felt there was some pressure for their fraternity or sorority to be kicked off campus. And, you know, here's a couple of it. 9% told us that there was pressure for that fraternity or sorority to become co-ed. So we see some of the controversy over single-sex organizations as a part of this. And for instance, in an article that I published on Real Clear Education Today, I talked some about the controversy at Harvard. They banned single-sex organizations essentially about 5 years ago. They were eventually forced to retract from that after it became clear they were going to lose the federal court case. But overnight, it eradicated the existence of sororities on campus. These are, you know, groups that the young college women can gather in. And, you know,
sure.
It's in a sense, it's their right. So we think that this free speech on campus conversation needs to include this issue of voluntary associations. And another case that you may have heard of, this was even further back, this is going back almost 10 years, at Vanderbilt University, they had a non-discrimination policy that made it against the rules for you to require that a leader of your student organization hold the religious beliefs that your organization was based on. So, for instance,
what?
A Christian student group was not allowed to insist that their leader actually hold Christian beliefs.
You got
to
be kidding.
So you would not be surprised to find that Vanderbilt was one of the poorest performing schools on our survey that we just conducted.
Yeah, I want a rabbi running my Catholic youth organization. I think that would work out. I mean, this is crazy. So
imagine an atheist, you know, trying to lead your Christian organization, or a Christian trying to lead your atheist organization. It becomes absurd. And if this is our definition of non-discrimination, what you end up doing is actually discriminating against those students who simply want to form a student group along common interests. These are voluntary groups. No one's forcing anyone to join a sorority or fraternity. No one's forcing you to join a religious group. This is about freedom. This is about the idea to that you should be able to gather with like-minded people to explore thoughts and ideas and interests. That's simple.
You know, this is something that I never thought would happen maybe 30 or 40 years ago, that, you know, even though you would think about, well, how, where is all of this kind of stuff going? And it's really gone there. It's gotten to the point where we're really in a nonsensical world about certain things. I mean, freedom of association, like going back to the Vanderbilt University situation, they did toss that thing out finally, didn't they? Or did they?
In that case, I don't believe so. I think there are still some existing policies in place there. In Harvard's case, though, they did, the courts did indicate that that was going to be overturned, and then Harvard was forced to retrace their steps. But I think it has a chilling effect, even if, in the Harvard's case, you know, ultimately the university is forced to retract, the chilling effect on the campus remains, and students now feel stigmatized. Well, am I a bigoted person because I wanted to be in a sorority, or am I a bad person? So, you know, it's really incumbent upon college administrators to create this environment where students feel, you know, that there's the widest possible range of freedom for debate and for just...
You know, absolutely right. You know, we've lost the whole concept of these schools, which is really is to prepare kids for the real world, right? To educate them so that they can speak well, write well, that they can think well, which means that they can think, you know, logically. That they have a sense of the history of our country, that they have a sense of the history of humanity. These are the things when you finally get out of the Ivy Walls or wherever you've gone and into the real world. But we've lost sight of the purpose, I think.
Yes, and you know, there's such thing as coddling young people and trying to create this space where they're never offended, they're never going to encounter someone with a viewpoint that troubles them. That's just not the real world. And so I think they come out of school less equipped for the real
right.
world, rather than having a healthy ability to engage with someone who disagrees with you or has even a viewpoint that you find personally offensive. And you learn that, okay, I don't have to be threatened by that. I can actually engage in constructive dialogue with this person. I can choose to disagree. I can present my viewpoint. And we can all still be civil at the end of the day.
You know, I feel sorry for the kids that are going in right now. I mean, the kids that are going into college right now. It was supposed to be a college step, I thought was supposed to be kind of, it's your first time on your own, you know? You've been nursed all the way through high school. You live at home. Everything is that way. And then you get supposedly this. You're now turning 18 and you're becoming an adult, and you're going into an environment hopefully where you are able to shed some of that nurturing or the overseeing, but they're not shedding it.
Yeah, and I've even read stories about employers who are having difficulty, you know, incorporating new graduates into their office because they're so ill-equipped for the real, you know, real life, and for having to deal with you know, the complexities of life. And so we don't do kids any favors by coddling them in this way. In fact, we make it even harder for them to launch, as you might call it, in young adulthood.
I noticed one of the things, racial diversity comes up in this thing, and apparently it had a negative impact on the evaluations of the kids regarding the climate of speech. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, real quickly?
Yeah, and this is on its face, it seems a little unfortunate, right? Because campuses that were more racially diverse typically were rated more poorly in their speech climate by the students in our survey. Now, part of that might just be a case of you know, it's easier to feel free to speak your mind if everybody looks just like you. And everybody, so you might find that sort of just common sense in a way that the more similar everyone is, the more, you know, the less controversy you may find. But we, you know, another way of looking at this is that, you know, campuses who have more racial diversity, maybe those administrators are responding to that by, you know, cracking down somewhat on this freedom of speech rather than encouraging those differing students and those students from different backgrounds to engage in constructive dialogue. They're kind of saying, they're kind of responding by creating a more locked down speech climate.
Well, yeah, we know that. There are now words you can't say on campus, right? There are certain words you just cannot say on campus. You couldn't walk into an administration office and say it. They'd clamp down on you. I mean, there really is. There are words and there are phrases and they really do feel muzzled.
Well, and you know, the part of the distinction we saw here was, and I think a product of some of the more elite schools, the more private schools, you see a little bit of a difference there, and that you know, maybe they're a little more tapped into you know, being politically correct or what some people call woke culture or cancel culture. And, you know, some of our more public institutions, middle American institutions, rated a little more highly on average, because I think there's a little bit less of a hyper-focus on political differences and political identity and racial identity or gender identity. And so students felt a little less restricted there about speaking up.
Indeed. Nathan, really interesting survey. Very interesting discussion as well. Boy, I really hope someday we can kind of get back to the whole purpose of going to a college is kind of like freedom and the ability to think and the ability to interact with other people without being intimidated. Thank you so much, Nathan.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Nathan Harden, Real Clear Education. Going to take our break. When we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he signed a bill, an anti-riot bill. We're going to talk about this and some other things with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. I heard a lot of rain coming down there a few minutes ago. Are we floating down the street yet? I hope not. Boy, we're getting a lot.
I got the oars out.
Yeah.
You on one side, I on the other side.
Yeah, God help us.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. By the way, Walter Mondale died. I don't know if you remember him, Ed.
Yeah, I do. I remember Jimmy Carter's vice president.
Exactly. He was a nice guy.
Yeah, he was.
Very soft-spoken, nice guy. In fact, he would make fun of himself, self-deprecating kind of a guy. And lost to Ronald Reagan by the biggest margin.
Yeah, I remember
one-sided
that.
Presidential landslide.
I remember people saying they because of it was such a landslide, they were hoping it didn't go to this guy's head, that the whole country, he could do whatever he wanted because the whole country was behind him.
Yeah.
Meaning Reagan. So
yeah.
I remember they said that in school. You know, I was just a toddler back then.
Yes, indeed, you must have been. So he was 93 years old. I remember his daughter had a little bit of an entertainment and news career. She passed away, as did his wife. Hmm. So we wanted to salute Walter Mondale. In the meantime, with Minnesota, St. Paul, they're getting ready, of course, for more protests. You know that's going to happen, right? Ron DeSantis yesterday signed this anti-riot bill, which increases penalties for people that decide they're going to start throwing chairs through windows and everything
else.
Did
you see who was sitting next to him while he signed it?
Who?
Our very own Sheriff J.D. Grady Judd.
The
sheriff of Polk County, is it?
Polk County, yeah. Okay.
Brady Judd.
Well, that's not our sheriff, but it's close by.
No, our favorite one, though. He's our favorite sheriff.
Oh, he's our favorite, too. Yeah. Okay. So we got
Andrew. He'll put you under the jail.
Ooh, I don't think so. I don't want to go there.
No, he said that.
Yeah.
You riot, we will put you under the jail.
Yeah, there we go. No nonsense, guy.
Don't come to.
So we got the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi, with us. So, Andrew, I know you approve of this bill. It increases the penalties for anybody that tries to get away with bad things. It takes a lot of guts this day and age, however, I think, for a governor to stand up and do something like this. Your thought on that?
Well, he did the right thing.
Yeah.
They need these in all the states. If you know, you loot, you get shoot. That's all.
You loot, you get shoot. What do you think about if you're in a car or a vehicle and these protesters are standing in the middle of the road blocking traffic? What is it here? It says, where is this? I got to read it. It allows you to go driving through.
I think that just means that they have the right to arrest you if you're blocking the road. They can't now.
Okay.
Well, they don't.
You mean I can't get in my...
You can't get 2 points for a door hit or anything like that. No.
You know, I thought, I just wing them as they try to get away.
Yeah.
So, Andrew...
blow.
Yeah. So, we got this thing going on. It went into effect immediately. It also kind of protects businesses because they can sue the local government if they're not being protected.
Look, Paul, there's no reason to riot and loot. Do you want to protest? You protest peacefully. Like our President Donald Trump said, protest peacefully that he got blamed for inciting a riot. Meanwhile, we got blabbermouth Maxine Waters inciting riot.
Now, that was a great segue. I got to give you credit. Yeah, Maxine, and by the way, did you hear that she came out and said, well, the judge says my words don't matter. That's what she said after she was asked about whether or not what she said about confrontations might...
They threw that right out of court because of her.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do it. And you know what? I would get the manure cannons in Minnesota right now and line them all up.
Yeah, the manure cans. Now, that would be something.
Ed, Paul, it's the best thing in the world. It's harmless. You can do it. It's biodegradable, but let me tell you something. Those people are dispersing that crowd when that crap is sprayed on them like you've never seen.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it might work.
So you're saying replace the water cannons...
With manure cannons.
With the septic tank pumpers.
That's good, but the cow manure doesn't have as much bacteria in it. So you can't complain.
Ah.
You'll get a nice poop shower.
Yeah. So it's kind of a liquid poop shower? Is that what this is?
Man, it's beautiful.
I see.
Fertilize all the greenery around them. And
we can have grass growing through the cracks in the sidewalk. I'm not so sure I want that.
That would be the best thing. Hey, what do you think about little David Hogg there? He's going after DeSantis now. I think he's going to try and run against him.
Oh, that'll work. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, he's challenging him.
Now, who is David Hogg again?
Yep, there's no question about it.
Who is David Hogg?
You got the moron Biden sitting there changing our language around. No more illegal aliens.
Hey, you're stealing all of my stories later in the show. I want to go back to David Hogg. Who is David Hogg?
David Hogg was the little guy with the shooting there in the school. Remember, that came up against gun violence.
Oh, okay.
He was going against Mike Lindell. He was going to start his own pillow company, but that fell apart. So now he wants to run for governor.
I'm not sure anybody could run against DeSantis right now for governor. I don't know that anybody would get. Can you imagine if that, what was the name of that black guy that was on the Democrat?
Andrew Gillum.
Can you imagine if that guy had become governor? And it was a close race, yeah. Remember?
Yeah. We would have been getting a shot of him.
Can you imagine what this.
Shots.
Can you imagine what this state would be like? I wonder why the St. Pete Times doesn't run a huge editorial going, boy, were we wrong. Well, about Andrew Gillum. Boy, were we wrong. They endorsed him.
Why would they do that, Paul?
Because they would realize how terrible things would be if that guy would, during all of the virus thing, can you imagine how he would shut this state down?
Paul, instead of them shutting the state down, we shut the newspaper down, Paul. It only comes out now on Wednesdays and Sundays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know what? It's a sad scenario across the country, but the newspaper is the dodo bird of these days. You know, it's gonna go. It's gonna become extinct. We're all online now with things.
I think as time goes on, you're gonna see a lot of liberal businesses go extinct, Paul.
Yeah. So getting back a little bit to some of these riots and protests and demonstrations, I know that. No matter what happens with this guy, Derek Chauvin, the policeman in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I mean, they pretty much would have to throw him in jail for life,
Paul,
to keep him from rioting in the streets, I'm thinking.
You got to realize it's almost springtime up there, and those people need their summer wardrobe. So what better time to go shopping?
Do you think they're making a list?
We need new clothes. We need new sneakers.
I wouldn't put them past those people if they're walking around right now targeting what stores they're going to hit.
Oh, I think they've already got them in mind. Yeah. Don't you, Andrew? I mean, these things are planned.
Of course.
They'll be disappointed if this if it's really a harsh sentence because...
Let me tell you something. I hope he gets off, and I want to see them burn the city of Minneapolis down, Paul.
Oh, you don't really want that.
That's what needs to happen in this country to start waking people up, Paul.
Well, let me ask you this, and be very honest, because, you know, be honest, not be objective. Do you think that Chauvin's knee on Floyd had something to do with the death of Floyd?
Well, I think a lot had to do with him swallowing that fentanyl.
True, it could be.
Okay, because they tell me that, you know, this fentanyl stuff, a couple of pieces of a grain of salt could kill you. This guy swallowed some sort of...
But I'm asking you if Floyd's... if Chauvin's knee on Floyd...
death was caused by that, I know.
Well, partly, not at all. It was a coincidence that he died?
Convict this guy on evidence. The evidence is all for the defendant.
Do you think it was... Yeah, I know.
I'm not talking. Listen.
Okay.
You look at the videos at two different angles. You see him more on his shoulder than his neck.
Okay. See, I think that Chauvin did overdo it with his knee. I really do.
I've overdone it, but I don't think it's a murder crime.
Well, I didn't say murder. Murder's a strong word. I don't think it was intentional. Go ahead, Ed.
That's what I'm worried about because, listen, as Maxine... Waters kindly said if they don't get a guilty verdict on that murder, the second degree murder, there's going to be hell to pay.
Mm-hmm.
No, and that's where, you know, they need to be held accountable. They're not held accountable. I'm sorry, Paul. You got Black Lives Matter. Is everybody afraid of them or what? You got the woman buying $1 million homes. They haven't done one thing for the black community, but here's Black Lives Matter. We're going to start riots. Everything is unjust. We're not equal. We're tired of that crap, Paul.
I think most of the country is very tired of it. Very tired. That's why, again, in November of next year, which, you know, it's only about a year and a half away, they're going to, I think people are going to reject all of this.
I think it's going to be rejected long before the vote comes out, Paul.
Yeah, it's being rejected now, but I'm saying it's their way of showing their rejection, you know.
Like I say, you want to do this peacefully, do it right, disperse the crowd, bring out the manure cannons. treat them like they are, like they're poop.
Well, it might be that we're eventually going to get to that point. At least here in Florida, it sounds like with the way that DeSantis is talking, we're going to have some peace and calm around here.
You know, one of the things that Grady Judge said, that he said, you know, we want you to, we know you're coming down here to live. You're moving down here by the hundreds, maybe even thousands.
Oh, yeah.
And come on in, have a good time, mm-hmm. but don't riot. And don't vote the way you voted up there. That's how you got in this mess.
That's exactly right. Don't bring your liberal politics into Florida. Why do you think you want to come here? It's the same thing with other countries and their communist.
Should be like Grady Judd.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't vote the way you voted.
See, this
up there.
Is the same thing with the illegal immigration, right? They're coming here because we were supposedly a free country, right? Everything, we don't have a huge, they're leaving socialist, communist, clenching government environments to come to what they think is a free place. So what happens? They bring that politic with them. Then we're going to become more and more like the countries they're leaving.
Well, we need to change our language like Biden's doing with illegal immigrants.
Illegal alien.
And we're a free country. I think they're thinking everything is free. You see?
Well, they're right. They're getting handouts as soon as they're getting handouts. Andrew, they're somewhat correct.
Yeah. Well, it needs to stop, Paul.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
It needs to stop. We need a president like Trump. We don't need this. I don't know what you would call this administration. They shouldn't be running a farm with chimpanzees in it.
You know, this is something I brought up earlier with this whole thing with some of the black leaders should be calling for calm now before the storm hits. Where is Kamala Harris? Where is she? Why is she not urging people to remain calm, accept the verdict, whatever it is? And that's her job. I mean, she's a black woman.
No, she's busy entertaining the Japanese minister because Biden couldn't do it.
No, you guys are, don't you understand? She's down at the border taking care of that.
She still can't find the border.
Oh, she can't find the border. Well, she's trying to find the border, right?
She's over in Japan looking for it.
Unbelievable.
You know, is there a border around here somewhere?
We got to laugh because it's so bad. It really
is. It's funny that the first woman to get in a position like that is such an idiot. Think about it.
The
woman to be in that position.
I look at her as just unprepared. She has no business being anywhere near the White House. That's the way I look at her, you know? She's just not prepared to do this. Anyway, thank you so much, Andrew. Delight to talk with you as always, and I look forward to Friday with you.
Remember, manure cannons.
Yes.
It's the answer.
We'll be on the lookout.
All right. Be good.
Thanks. There he goes, the master barber himself. Okay, we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, like we were talking, Biden's administration banning words like illegal alien? We're going to talk about that.
Little town flirt.
Here she comes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, you can listen to us live. However, if you don't have that opportunity, you can listen to us on podcast. Big Ed has set up all of our shows so that you can listen at your leisure. All you've got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button, and away you go. All right. The Biden administration has banned the use of the term illegal alien. Employees of the two main immigration enforcement agencies directed yesterday to stop using those words. They call it offensive. And they recommend that agents use the following words, a non-citizen. There we go. A non-citizen or a migrant. Well, here's the deal. A non-citizen or a migrant makes it sound like you're just legally here. A non-citizen, you know, or a migrant. It sounds like you're legally here when you're not. If you're illegally here, why can't you use the word illegal in the phrase? To describe you. I don't understand. The change reflects guidelines set by the Biden administration, which is reversing many of the policies of Donald Trump. So there you go. So you can use the word non-citizen or migrant. You can also use the word undocumented non-citizen. Try to say that five times. Oh, you're an undocumented non-citizen. Great. Or you can also say, Ed, you can say this. Oh, you're an undocumented individual. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little, you know, I don't know what it is here, but these are stupid words.
Is there a speech police that's going to arrest us or what?
You get slapped around, you know, in the back of the Capitol building. I guess that's what happens.
So no more Chinese virus, no more.
Yeah, no Chinese virus, no illegal alien. Let's see here.
So it's undocumented worker or.
Yeah, no, you've got a choice.
Guest tax evader.
I like that. You can be called a non-citizen or a migrant, which I think doesn't reflect the fact that you're here illegally. At least with the word undocumented non-citizen. This is so stupid. Or undocumented individual. It's getting a little bit closer to the fact that you ain't here legally. But it isn't there all the way. You know? Not there all the way. So I don't know where we're going with this nonsense.
Okay,
somebody wake up Biden and ask him why.
Undocumented, the people that are squeezing across the border, undocumented workers, right? Because they're from Mexico.
Undocumented non-citizens.
So
get your words
what
right.
About, say, Middle Eastern Muslims or something that come across the border? Are they called undocumented terrorists? I don't know.
You can't use the word terrorist.
Why not?
And you can't use, let's see, you could bring it down to troublemaker, but troublemaker, no, that's still too strong. You would be an undocumented middle. I don't know what you would be. By the time we figured it out, you already have blown up a building. That's the problem. All right. Hey, Ed, it is time for us to get away from word speech and get into the 10 worst TV game shows.
I tell you, my all-time worst. But well, it was still on the air for a while.
Well, let's
the
see.
The Gong Show was stupid.
Why are you?
Why
couldn't you wait?
Okay, I'm just saying.
You could have waited.
Well, you don't have to tell me it's in there.
I didn't say it is.
Okay, good. Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Get over on those drums.
All right.
Top 10 worst game show. By the way, PopCrunch.com came up with it. Here we go. Number 10. Scrabble was actually a TV game show.
Really?
Yeah, Chuck Woolery. You remember him?
Yeah, he's great.
84 to 93. What's more boring than playing Scrabble on TV? Mm, Chuck Woolery presiding over the crossword thrill fest. It was hard to watch. That's what they say. Number 9. I like the title of this one. My Dad is Better Than Your Dad. Have you heard about that
one?
It ran It ran for about a month. It was in 2008. Dan Cortese, I guess, was the guest, the host. We can only guess when they ran out of good ideas when they came up with My Dad is Better Than... It was a game show based on childhood bragging.
Ugh.
All right, number 8. Jimmy Kimmel hosted a show. Did you know that? A game show called Set for Life in 2007. Contestants would search for the magical white light stick that would move them up the ladder and give them money for life.
Ugh.
Number 7, Hole in the Wall. Brooke Burns and Mark Thompson hosted it, 2008 to 2009. Big success in Japan, but not so much here. The game show did not translate. You would put competing teams through various cutout shapes on a moving wall by contorting their bodies to fit the shape. Doesn't even... Number 6, Bowling for Dollars. Have you ever heard of that?
I did.
1970 staple, seen on a more local level. Its concept was as ingenious as the name. Contestants' bowling skills earn money and prizes. Flashier game shows began to fill up the airways, and they went down the alley, you might say. Number 5, Temptation. Billed as the new sale of the century. The most hilarious thing about it, an old-school theme song. You'd think you were watching a 70s game show. But nope, 2000, cheesy game show excitement. Number 4, The Moment of Truth. And guess who hosted it? Mark Wahlberg, the actor.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
2008, 2009. How low will people sink for a shot at prize money? On this show, contestants subjected to a lie detector test prior to coming on, running through a variety of questions about their personal lives. Right? Embarrassing questions, dramatic pauses. They even had music playing while the guy was thinking. Very, very stupid. Number 3. Hey, remember John McEnroe, the tennis player?
Mm-hmm.
He hosted a game called The Chair, 2002. Looks to see how well people could keep their cool under pressure by putting contestants in uncomfortable situations while monitoring their heart rate. If they were able to keep their heart rate below a certain level, they would progress to another level.
What about the host? Did they monitor his?
I know. Number 2, Yahtzee. You remember that game, Yahtzee? I used to play it in college. Yeah. It's been around forever. Peter Marshall, remember the host Peter Marshall?
Mm-hmm.
He hosted it. A game show based on the dice-shaking game. Yeah, it happened, and it was pure crap, according to this. No way to sugarcoat it.
Hmm.
All right. All right, Ed.
Well, I have no idea.
Go ahead.
I have no idea because I'd take the Gong Show.
Yeah, the Gong Show's a good one.
But that made it for a while.
It was just
annoying.
It was called Hurl. Oh, my God.
Hurl, like in puke? Or?
Well, the game show goes beyond the gross factor. Contestants not only had to eat all manner of disgusting food, but they were then subjected to vomit-inducing challenges in an effort to see who would toss their cookies first. Can you believe it?
Wow.
And it was Dale Roy Robinson and Tom Crahan in 2008. I can't believe they would do a show
You could see
like
that on Fear Factor when people had to eat bugs and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hurl. All right. We're going to get out of here, hopefully, sooner than better. And we'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works. All by myself.